What's up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 88. Today, we are doing the recap episode of the Marley Jacks interview. Last week, we did the interview with Rachel King, and the week before that was the interview with Marley. And for those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, you know how we do it. We like to do interviews and then a recap episode immediately after. But just with scheduling, it just kind of worked weird the last 2 weeks. I did interviews, so now we're doing the recap episodes these next 2 weeks. So today, we are going into Marley's interview, which absolutely go back and listen to it if you haven't yet. The first half of the interview, we largely talk about entrepreneurship in general, what it takes to be one. We talk about her story and her struggles that she dealt with relationships and her previous career and how she was able to transition out of that career because she actually had a nice gradual process of becoming an entrepreneur while she was still working her salary job before. So it was like a much easier transition for her. I'm not going to dive into any of that stuff in the recap episode. I think we more than cover every bit of her story, as well as I reflect on it in my own way in full. So I don't have anything else to add to it, but I think you guys will really like that part of the interview. What we're mostly going to be talking about is focusing on the main message that she teaches, which is stop being on this content producing hamster wheel that you're just constantly producing all of this content that doesn't really make you money or maybe doesn't even get you followers. It just slowly builds a following, and it's just a slow race to getting you nowhere, really. I mean, nowhere fast. So what I learned from working with Marley over the last few months myself was how to really refine my content message and have my call to actions make more of an impact for my listeners, as well as make more of an impact on the profit that I'm driving from the content I'm producing. So in today's episode, you're going to learn how to start profiting and making money more so from your content. So that should be exactly what you came to the show for. If you're brand new, welcome to the show. We are going to get started in just a second. Just a quick word from my sponsor. All right, now before we get into Marley's content, I just want to speak to the current situation because we are still in the coronavirus pandemic, and people ask me every once in a while, should I be doing anything different with my marketing? Should I scale back? Should I change my message? Should I be posting different content? And the simple answer is that you're not really going to change nearly as much as you may think that you have to. Whatever you're known for, just keep posting that. And if there's anything that the corona has impact on in your industry, so like a common example, and people are more than capitalizing on this from what I've seen, is that if you're in the fitness industry and you teach fitness tips typically of what people can do at the gym or outside, then you're going to switch it up to being, you know, at home fitness tips. If you do arts and crafts, and a lot of the, you get what I'm saying. If it's typically outdoors and stuff like that that you teach, you're going to have to refine your message to indoors. You're going to have to refine your message to just the current situation, however it impacts your industry. And it should have a little bit of an effect on your content too. If you guys go to my IGM Secrets page, you can see what I'm talking about, that I have been posting things that are relevant to the coronavirus. I'm just going to read off my last post just as an example, so you can see how my business, how I might post a little bit differently with the situation. So it's a quote and it says, if you've been wanting to transition from being a part-time to a full-time entrepreneur, then congratulations. The quarantine has just promoted most of you to full-time until further notice. Time to see how bad you actually want it. That is the last post that I did. It's actually going pretty well right now. And it's related to the coronavirus, but I'm not saying there's this many deaths, there's this many cases, the coronavirus is spreading between countries. That I'm leaving up to the news reporters. So just know how the current situation fits in your industry, and you're going to adjust your content to meet that. We don't want to talk about it in a completely scared sense because we're on social media and we're not trying to ruin people's day. And we also don't want to talk about it in a sense that we are trying to be too educational on topics that we might not be the trusted expert on. Even if your information is factual, you might have some haters and some people calling you out for, hey, this, you're not a doctor, why are you saying this? And that's not why they follow you. So that's mostly what I'm saying, is don't change what you're posting to the point that it's no longer in line with the original reason that people follow you. But it is such a relatable situation for everyone that your content probably should have some adjustments just so your business can fit in. If you need any extra help with that, just go check out my IGM Secrets page, see a little bit about what I'm doing. You can even shoot me a message if you're just totally lost of what to do. But just thought I'd quickly throw that out there before we get into the recap episode here, because obviously there's plenty of you that are like, all right, do I need to make adjustments right now? There's a lot going on. So hope everyone's doing well. And all right, let's get into the Marley information. So the first thing we're going to talk about is how she uses Instagram and YouTube together. Now, Marley has over 27,000 Instagram followers, and she's got about 16,000 YouTube subscribers, and she's really been able to use the two platforms together in a great way. And cross-pollinating between social platforms is something that I'm all about. If you guys have ever seen my masterclass where I run a giveaway and I populate my Instagram traffic onto my email list, onto my Facebook page, YouTube, then you know that this is right up my alley. In fact, I even did a giveaway last week, and I will share those results with you in a second because I think it will be very valuable to what we're talking about. But how Marley does it, from YouTube to Instagram, let's talk about that first. So the cool thing is YouTube is an evergreen channel once you get the video to rank. Otherwise, it's kind of like a nevergreen channel if the video doesn't rank. Because if you get your YouTube video for how to do this on page one of when someone types in how to do this, then you're probably going to get thousands and thousands of views on it over time, especially if it just sits on page one. Then yeah, you're good. Otherwise, if it doesn't make it on page one under any search term, then it's probably not going to get shown at all. However, that's kind of the name of the game too, is you're going to put out a lot of content until one of them does hit like a home, you hit a home run with one of them. And Marley did that with her video, How to Use Canva, was the first one that she got to go viral. And now it's at the point where it's getting 15,000 views on average a week. So with those 15,000 views, can you imagine if the video literally did nothing besides just teach Canva? That would be the definition of creating content that gets you nowhere. She'd be getting all these views, and all it would be doing is getting her some subscribers sometimes. But in that video, Marley calls out actions to follow her on Instagram. It talks about the other places that they can find her at. And I'm pretty sure it's a resource, but there's something at the end that she can grab their email. And if she didn't have, at the end of this video that is almost at a million views now, some kind of way to grab an email at the end of it, can you see how the video would probably have made her less than $500 by now, if anything, versus it's probably made her tens of thousands of dollars from the emails she's collected from that, and then eventually converting those emails into buying one of her programs. So that's the definition of creating content that makes an impact, as Marley teaches with her VIP code. I can't remember what the VIP stands for, or it's a video impact profit. Yeah. So that's Marley's thing, VIP, video impact profit. So make sure that not only is the video teaching something, but it actually has that resource on the back end. So from grabbing their email, she also has a chance to eventually introduce them to her her Instagram even if it's just at the very bottom of the email, it says sincerely Marley Jacks at Marley Jacks. Eventually that's going to get you some followers. And then on the other end, using Instagram to go to YouTube, YouTube loves it when you send external traffic to it. That is one of the major ways to make your video rank on YouTube. Sending traffic from Google, sending traffic from your website. They love to see that you are making a conscious effort to get people from off of YouTube onto YouTube, and that's really going to help your video rank. So that's how she uses Instagram. She has a new video come out, just like I do too. I promote it, okay? So you can go on her page and scroll down. I'm sure you'll find something where she's promoting one of her YouTube videos. For an example, that's on my page. It's not far down, but I have a video that is titled Start and Grow a Print on Demand Store, and it's me talking in the mountains for about 40 seconds, and then that is me leading into a YouTube video. So that's one of the ways you can do it, is just do a regular post on Instagram where you detail what is going to be covered. So the result people are going to get from the video. I can't beat this into you enough. In this episode, oh man, I'm going to tell you right now, you guys are going to absolutely love the end of this episode, because I'm going to teach you and show you some examples of how to really grab people's attention and get them to download free guides and do the things that you want them to do. But what a lot of people do is, if they're trying to promote a video from their Instagram, they're like, hey guys, I got a new YouTube video. Please go like and subscribe. That would mean so much to me. Why is it about you? Why is them watching your video about you at all? Like, hey guys, I know you are on Instagram and have a TikTok and a Facebook and a YouTube and can do so many amazing and entertaining things on your phone that are exactly what you want to see. But if you wouldn't mind liking and subscribing to my video for the sake of me only, that would be awesome. That is not a strong persuasive point. The only people that are going to do it are your mom and your sister, because they're like, oh, I'll help my family member out. Otherwise, why don't you say, hey, I just put out a video that will teach you how to do this. By the end of the video, you'll be able to do this and this. Swipe up to check it out, or check it out, the link in my bio. That is how you promote things. That is how you sell things. It is all about why it will benefit the other person. So talk about it like that, all right? If you're going to do a promo video on Instagram to YouTube, desperation is the least persuasive emotion. Please do this. Hey guys, would you please like and subscribe? Yeah, that's okay to do if it's the very end of your video after you've provided value. I'm not saying that those words should never come out of your mouth, but if that's the only thing that you're saying and there's no value or substance apart from just please do this, and you're just begging people, when you're begging or when you're chasing something, it's naturally implying that you lack it. And when you come off desperate, I think every guy and girl listening to this call can tell from or can think about a time where someone has had a crush on you more than you've had a crush on them, and they've chased you and it's made you just naturally not like them as much. Or the other way around, where you've liked someone a lot and because you're pursuing them, because you're chasing them, you are chasing them away a little bit. You're making it too easy. You're not making them come to you, right? You're not giving them reasons why they should like you. You're just telling them, you know, be my boyfriend. And that's the same thing as watch my video, explain why, and have confidence that explaining why in terms of value for them is always going to generate the best results. Another way that she uses Instagram to promote a YouTube video is by doing just a quick trailer and then lead over to the YouTube video. So the example that we talk about in the episode is, if you have the 5 tips to rank your web page on Google on page 1, then you might give out tip number 1 on your Instagram and then say, for the remaining tips, go ahead and check out the video that's linked in my bio. And guys, I will say one thing with sending Instagram traffic to YouTube. We've talked about the importance of deep links in the past. There's 2 episodes that cover deep links. I'm sorry, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I'm sure you can find them. One of them's really early, and then another one, it's like in like the first 10 episodes, it's like five or six. And then the other one is in the 40s. And it's a Q&A that I did for someone about how to generate more YouTube subscribers. I'll teach you about deep links in there. But what I wanted to say is that when you have a YouTube video linked in your bio and someone clicks on it, it looks like it is now logging them in. So the reason why we did deep links before is because if someone clicked on your deep link to a YouTube video in your Instagram bio, it would make it open in the YouTube app where they are logged in and can like and subscribe your video. If they're not logged in, they can't without logging in, which is way too many steps for someone to do just to like your video. No one is going to enter their email and password just so they can like your video. You're just not going to get a like. And now that's what was happening if you just put a regular YouTube link. But I think Instagram has finally caught on, and it looks to be that if you have a YouTube app and it is logged in, that Instagram is now picking that up and letting you like and subscribe. So you may not have to use deep links for YouTube anymore, but of course, just test it before just listening to me on something like this, because there's some features that get rolled out in some countries before others, and it never hurts to just make sure, maybe you're not listening to this episode at the time that I'm putting it out, so things might be different for these little technical things, but just make sure that when you do put a YouTube video in your Instagram bio, that when someone clicks it, that they then are able to like and subscribe without logging in. All right, let's go on to how she utilizes Instagram stories. And I actually did an interview yesterday on a podcast called Storytelling Secrets. And the whole episode is just me talking about how to use Instagram stories. And it's a lot of content that wasn't covered on the show. So it's not published yet, but I just figured I should mention it before I get into this next section, because I'm going to be telling you guys about that episode soon. Or you can go check out the Storytelling Secrets podcast and subscribe and just wait for it in the next week or so. But you guys are really going to like that episode to piggyback off of some of the stuff I'm about to teach you right now. So Marley loves to use her story to really show her lifestyle and to connect with her followers on a deeper level. And being a personal brand is something that I honestly haven't fully figured out. I think it changes over time as you get more followers and more of a lifestyle that is worthy of promoting, then it gets easier and easier. That's why the big entrepreneurs that really are traveling half the year and driving Lamborghinis and things like that naturally are going to be able to do lifestyle marketing easier. However, you don't need to have the fancy stuff to do lifestyle marketing, because the goal of the lifestyle marketing is not to just get people envious of you like it might seem there. It's also to just let them know who you are more. So Marley doesn't do lifestyle marketing at all in a sense of a superficial way. Look at the stuff that I own. Look at the lifestyle I have. She does it more in, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to really break the mold with you guys and show you who I am. So on that note, showing who you are is great to do on your story. However, because story engagement is ruined when people stop watching your story and they keep exiting and they just stop clicking on it, just make sure that there's still some substance to what you're communicating on your story. Don't just go on there. Like for me as an entrepreneur, if I post a healthy meal, sure, that is mostly still in line with my brand. It might be a great looking picture. It might inspire people to eat healthy and keep on top of their shit that day, because that's still what entrepreneurship is personal growth and personal development and staying on top of your shit. So me posting healthy food is still like in line with my brand enough. That's the thing with the stories. It can be a little off brand. Would I ever post a picture of food as a regular post? Absolutely not. That would break what my account is about. So stories allows you to break what your major account theme is about without it ruining your reputation or losing followers. But you also don't want to do it just to do it. Don't post content just because you feel like you have to, but make an effort to explain things to people in terms of how they could learn from it. Like for me, my day to day right now is I don't really stop entrepreneuring, honestly, because I thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, I definitely take breaks, but I thoroughly enjoy both of the businesses that I run right now and where they're at. And I'm excited for where they're going. So it's not hard for me to keep working. So what I can do is I can show that I'm working, but I'm not just going to be like, oh, the grind, working hard today. I'm going to show you what I'm doing. I'm going to teach you a valuable teaching topic from it. That is a much better story, because if you can produce story posts that generate DMs, you are doing it right. Let me say that again. If you can post story posts that are generating DMs, then you are doing it right. You want to cause reactions out of your audience, regardless of what you're posting. If it generates DMs, as long as they're not like mean DMs, like I'm going to unfollow you, I can't believe you posted that, then DMs are awesome. It means you're doing it right. So if I'm doing, you know, if I was doing like some new challenge, like the ALS ice bucket challenge or like whatever thing like that comes around. If I was doing that on my story, if I was posting food, if I was posting a tip, if I was posting a view from the hike that I'm on, regardless of what my account is about, if those things are still valuable enough and cool enough to generate responses from people, then you're good. So that is a kind of a rule for yourself to have. Like if it's generating responses, then you're good. But it's great to break the mold and share a little bit more of who you are on your story. That really is the platform to do it on, because the people who are viewing your story are pretty much all people who have already chosen to follow you. So you're not really trying to convert followers at this point. You're trying to convert fans. So we're trying to convert followers into raving fans using our stories. We're trying to convert cold traffic into followers using regular posts.
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
The other thing Marley does on Instagram well is the long caption format. So if people ask me, how long should my captions be? And really, it's more of a question of, does your piece of content have enough likable components to it? And that's it. So two types of posts that you can do on Instagram, I mean, there's a lot of gray space to this, but would be a piece of content that is completely likable in itself. Like you could post this piece of content with no caption and it would do fine. Or you can just do a very short caption and it's fine. Or you can do a long caption format, which is typically going to be more related to when your post itself is maybe not, it doesn't have as much value in it. So she does a lot of selfies, and the selfies that she posts will get some likes. But what she does is she'll do a selfie, but then in the caption, she'll usually write like 2 to 5 paragraphs of some kind of message that is really trying to give her audience exactly what they want, and is also in a way trying to move the needle from them being cold traffic to warm and hot traffic. She's trying to overcome objections that they might have to her programs and courses and teachings, but handling objections is also educating people, all right? So it's not just like, oh, that's a stupid objection. Handling objections is educating people. For instance, something that a lot of people struggle with in the video marketing world, because that's what Marley teaches. I haven't even mentioned that yet. So if you're listening to this episode for the first time and not her interview, Marley teaches YouTube in the same way that I teach Instagram. We actually have kind of similar businesses, apart from that major factor there. So a major issue that people have in video marketing is something called imposter syndrome, which is that whenever you are trying to get into a market of, I'm going to create how-to videos in whatever market, that part of your mind will say, why are you equipped to teach on this topic? There's people that are better than you that should be teaching this. Why would anyone listen to you? You've only been doing it for this many years. That little voice in your head is called imposter syndrome, which keeps a lot of people from ever trying and a lot of people from doing videos at all, because they just feel like they can't get over that thing and they can't get over themselves and they can't just realize that you don't have to be the best person to do it. You just have to be the person that's doing it. And I kind of say that with my podcast too. I might not be the best Instagram marketer in the world, but as far as I'm concerned, I am the best Instagram marketer that has a podcast. So know that that's the other part of it. There's only so many of you that will act on it. And people that fear acting on it because of a negative comment are losing out on so much more than if they were to do it anyways and just endure those negative comments. Because I hardly get any negative comments. So when I do, it's like whatever at this point. I think when you get bigger, you get more and more negative comments. But that's the thing. When you're posting videos as a small person, people aren't going out of their way to give you shit when you have like 3 likes on your video. They're not even going to find it in the first place. So don't worry and just know that starting and producing videos and getting better at your craft and like whatever you're teaching on, just as you go, like learning and then teaching and learning and teaching and learning and teaching will level you up so much faster than just learning, just waiting for the day where eventually you're advanced enough to teach it. You won't get to that point nearly as quick as if you constantly teach what you're doing. That's why I absolutely love the 2 businesses that I have. I have an e-commerce business, and after I get success in that business, I come over here and then I teach it to you guys. Then I go back to the other business, I get some success with it, I test it some more, and I, you know, double check my work and make sure I can get results with it multiple times or even teach it to a student. And once they get results, then I teach it on the show so that I only am teaching proven content. But also, the best way to learn is to teach. And that's not a cliche. That's the freaking truth. And I've set myself up to be able to always teach what I'm learning as I go, which is super helpful for me, apart from having 2 businesses. So there really was some thought behind that when I started the whole Instagram podcast thing, is I knew this would force me to get much better at Instagram marketing a lot quicker. And I'm way better at Instagram marketing now from starting the podcast than if I never started it and was just doing all of my stuff and inventing things as I go, because I've connected with so many of you guys as listeners. Or sometimes you guys will be like, hey, I've tried what you're doing here. It's not working for me because of this and this. And then I'll go back and forth with you and maybe I'll teach you something, or maybe I'll learn something from you even, just from hearing other experiences of your accounts, because you guys are in different industries and you guys are doing different techniques. So you're going to run into different problems than me. And because I have a community of you guys that are listening, and a lot of you come to me for whatever problem you run into, I'm aware of all the problems in the industry. So sorry, I got off topic here, because now I'm just handling the imposter syndrome objection, when really all I was trying to say is she might use her caption to handle things such as imposter syndrome, which is a major objection that people face before investing in themselves in the video marketing sense and buying one of her courses to get better at video marketing. So that's how you can use long caption as a coach. But long caption is great for really any personal brand or anyone that is trying to be very vulnerable with their audience. All right, let's get into the last part of this interview. This is going to be freaking awesome, guys. We're going to be talking about how to create a free guide opt-in resource in your business right after this break. So before we get into this section, I have to give some credit where it's due here. I have been reading this incredible book in the last week. It's called Sell Like Crazy from Sabri Subi. Sabri Subi is a very well-known e-commerce expert, just online entrepreneur overall. He's done over $1 billion in sales between him and his clients, and he knows a ton about everything digital marketing. And the cool thing is he's really run so many different companies that he's been able to boil it down into a science. So I'm going through this book right now and just redoing one of my e-commerce sales funnels exactly how he says. And I'm just going through and implementing as I go. And it has been absolutely awesome. So this is a book that he gives out for free. I'll see if I can't get a link for it and throw it in the description. Otherwise, if you follow Sabri Subi, it's S-A-B-R-I-S-U-B-Y, you'll eventually find it, or you'll eventually see one of his ads for Sell Like Crazy. It's one of those free book funnels, but you just pay for shipping. And the shipping was $16. So it's funny, like I exited out, and then a second later, I got an ad from him that was like, hey, I see that you exited out. Let me guess, it's probably the cost of the shipping. I guarantee you it's worth it. And I'm like, fine, and I did it. And I'm so glad that he had that retargeting ad for me to get the book. But one of the main things that it teaches is being able to share a free opt-in resource with your audience. And that's what Marley does in her Canva video, right? She has a free guide at the end where she can get their email. And the guides are to serve two purposes. One, it's to gain contact information from people so that we can actually market to them again, because it's tough enough to get people to watch our YouTube video or our Instagram or watch our ad the first time. It's hard enough to market to them that second and third time and pay for marketing to them all of those additional times, when if we just pay to market to them in a way that gains their email, now we don't really have to pay to market to them anymore. So that's really the name of the game with advertising, is being able to follow up with your customers, being able to own this traffic that is interested in your stuff, rather than them seeing an ad from yours once, they almost go to your website and buy, but you didn't get their email and you didn't have a Facebook pixel set up, so you can't even retarget them. That is called wasting money on advertising. So really, in any industry, it's very common to, before trying to sell someone something, having some kind of email opt-in. So even if it's just on an order form, like if it's, oh, this thing for $100, the first part of the order form could just be first name, email, and then reserve my unit. And then they click that. And then it goes to, all right, now credit card information. Just doing that is super beneficial for businesses to then grab that email and find out, okay, they at least made it past the first step of checkout. Now we can send them follow-up emails to get them through the checkout process. So just know that if you don't have any kind of free resource opt-in, or you're not constantly pulling emails into your business organically, like every day, you are missing out on some humongous opportunities. Now, what just popped into my head is that before in the episode, I told you that I was going to share my results of the giveaway that I did last week. I'm going to quickly do that before we get too into these free guide things. So last week, I spent $1,000 on Facebook and Instagram advertising to promote a giveaway that I did in my e-commerce business. With that $1,000, I generated over 5,000 emails, over 2,000 Instagram followers, 1,300 Facebook page likes, and 900 YouTube subscribers from $1,000. And those are very targeted people too, because the giveaway was for a product that I'm trying to sell. So naturally, all the people that entered into the giveaway have some interest in the product that I'm trying to sell. And now the thing is I own all of their contact info across multiple different platforms. So I can do paid advertising to them, and it's not that it's not worth it. And certainly if they go to my website and almost buy something, I'm certainly going to retarget them. But if the business is ever trying to not spend as much money on advertising and wanting to just market, I now have over 6,500 emails with that business. And 6,500 emails is really significant for me to be able to just, you know what? Let's try this new offer. You know what? We need some survey data. I have no idea what our customers want right now. Let me send an email to the 6,500 people and see if they can fill out this survey, and then get a few hundred responses. Let's send out to our 6,500 people about our new blog article that has all of these affiliate marketing links in it. Once you own these customers, you can do whatever you want with them later. It's not to say that they won't unsubscribe, but obviously you're not going to worry about that. Who would care about the unsubscribe if you don't even get to subscribe in the first place? So the first point that I'm trying to hammer home here is you need emails. You absolutely need to be grabbing emails and contact information at some point in your sales process before a sale is made. You better not only be getting emails of people who buy. You need to get emails of everyone who is interested so that over time, if the first time they see your ad, they're not ready to buy, then a month or two later, when they get your email, they are. Then you just had to pay for that traffic one time to gather their email and sell to them later, rather than pay to show them an ad for months and then eventually close them. All right. So
are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
Free guides. Let's start there. Let's keep it simple. A free guide. So I do my free viral posting guide, a step-by-step guide to viral posting. And the goal of the guide, like I said earlier, is to do two things. One is to gain their contact information. The second is to move them along from being a research person in your industry to someone who's ready to buy. So if I am someone who is wanting to get into skateboarding, there's only a small fraction of people, we'll say in the skateboard market as a whole, there's only a small percentage of people who are ready to buy a skateboard right now, just ready to go. You show me an ad that said skateboard on sale now, done. Like, I'm already there. Most people, well over 90% of the market, is not there. Although a large amount of the skateboarding market does understand that they will buy another skateboard again someday. So what that means is that they're in the research phase. And in order to get someone from a research phase to the buy phase, you need to give them that research. And when you can control the research phase for a customer and give them the information that you want them to have, that is how you can control these people going through the research phase into your buying phase, rather than them getting research from all these different sources and potentially leading them in the wrong direction. Make sense? I hope you are screaming with joy right now. I just love marketing so much. I'm just like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. I love it so much. I'm going to do that nonstop for the next couple years. Every time I talk about marketing, I'm like, that is the coolest freaking thing I've ever heard. We're going to control the research phase by giving them a free guide and gaining their contact information, following up with them until we get a sale. How do you like that? So what are these guides look like? A lot of you might even have guides, but really it's just, what do I need to educate someone on before they're ready to buy? So sticking with that skateboard example, the guide would essentially be the top five. Let's say that I'm Birdhouse Skateboards and I'm trying to sell them, and the guide is the top five most used skateboards from pro skateboarders. You won't believe what number four is, whatever. Like, that's the name of the guide. All right. And then they go through and it shows like the top skateboarders and what they use. And, now if I was Birdhouse Skateboards, I would only be calling that article that if I also had the data to back it up that led them to, buying Birdhouse Skateboards. Otherwise, I would choose a different kind of guide. But that guide sounds like really interesting. Like, oh, what are the top skateboarders that, or what are the top skateboards used by the most professional skateboarders nowadays? Because that would be very necessary information for them in their research phase before they'd be ready to buy their next board, because they have to make the decision of which board should I buy. Or maybe, excuse me, I got like the hiccups over something. Or maybe it's like a guide on what types of wheels they should be buying, and then it just shows them which type of your company's wheels they should buy. Whatever, okay? You get it. We're getting them from research phase to buy phase. I could make a whole two-hour episode on just creating these free guides, because in my university course, I do have a two-hour teaching lesson of me going through click-by-click, building a guide, building the email opt-in form, building the email sequence that they get after, and literally everything. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to pull out my book, Sell Like Crazy, and I'm going to give you some of the examples in this book because they're so money. This is the first thing that you need to learn with your guide. Your title is everything. No one wants to download a boring ass guide that sounds like information they could get anywhere. In fact, even if it sounds really cool, it's not cool enough. It has to sound irresistible. It has to be so incredible, something that you can't help but click on, because there are so many damn things that they can be clicking on and so many things that they can be doing with their attention and time, that if you are not that freaking awesome, then you are not existent. So here are four examples of boring guide titles and how he was able to change them into irresistible titles. First one, 7 things to know about financial planning. Gotta read that. And then it changed to 7 alarming things you must know before hiring a financial planner. Number 3 will blow your mind. Boring title, how to meet men. Irresistible title, make him beg to be your boyfriend in 6 simple steps. Boring title, 5 facts about web design. Irresistible title, 22 money murdering mistakes that no web designer would dare tell you. Boring title again, information about getting a divorce. So intriguing. And the irresistible title is a top divorce lawyer's secret checklist, 22 tip-offs your husband may be cheating on you. That is what these people actually want. So to create these titles, you do have to understand your clients extremely well. These cannot just be what you want to create. Nothing you should do in business is based on what you want to create. Oh, we want to sell this. Do people want it? No, but we want to sell it. You have to go off of what people want. Literally find out what your customers want and give it to them. That is the secret to business. And it is something that even people 8 years into running a business need to have a check on and be like, wait, are we doing that? Like, are we literally doing that simple formula of surveying our audience, figuring out what they want, and then giving it to them? On that note, I will just say, using your Instagram poll and quiz feature to gain intel about your audience is extremely valuable. I do it all the time. So with those titles, guys, that is how you get people to click. That is how you get the information. And the other thing that you may notice about all the titles is all of them had a number in them. 7 alarming things, make him beg to be your boyfriend in 6 simple steps. When there's numbers, then it creates intrigue, because it's like, oh, there's 7 of them. Oh, I bet this is 1. I bet this is 2. I have no idea what the other ones are. Then they're going to read it. If it's just make him beg to be your boyfriend in a few simple steps rather than in 6 simple steps, then the few simple steps doesn't get the mind thinking about what it would be. So using numbers in your titles for your free downloads is awesome. But really, guys, I'm going to say that getting this book, Sell Like Crazy, is going to be the best way, because I could really just read you guys this whole chapter. I could just go on the podcast and read this entire book and you guys would be like, that was the best thing I've ever heard. It has blown my mind, and it's in my top 3 books of all times already, and I'm about 80% done with it. But if you want a little bit more of what he's talking about at this point in the book, the next page is timeless formulas for your high value content offer title. So these are just like these titles that you can put for a guide. If you DM me at IGM Secrets, I will send you a picture of this page that has all of his formulas for creating these guides. But start to think about, if you have a guide, how could you make the title better? And if you don't have a guide, what do people in your industry really, really want? And go create a free guide. And even if you don't use any paid advertising on this, something that you could do, which would be such a valuable step in your business, is converting your Instagram followers into emails. So create a guide and then just market that guide to your current Instagram followers and just have them go through an email opt-in page. Hopefully you know how to do that. If not, you can go to my resources at the link in the description of this episode, and you can see the CRM platforms that I use, which are email platforms, which are typically going to be where you create your opt-in forms. But just create a simple opt-in form for people to get your guide, and then convert your Instagram followers into emails. What an amazing task that would be, is if you could convert your 1,000 Instagram followers into 50 emails, even. If you just got that level of conversion for this time, and then you made another guide later and you got a few more, that is really going to help secure your business for the future. And typically people are much more likely to buy over an email than from an Instagram sale still. So that's why it's also valuable to gain multiple contact sources for your customers. So that would be my challenge to you. If you want to try to do something significant with your time before next week's podcast episode, make a guide and either run some paid traffic to it if you know what you're doing, or just try to convert your Instagram followers into emails. That would be freaking awesome. So that concludes today's episode. Stay tuned for next week, where we do a recap episode of Rachel King's awesome Seamless Carousel episode. And of course, go back and listen to Marley and Rachel's interviews. If you haven't yet, they will rock your socks off. My name's Derek Vidal. Thank you so much for listening.